Good morning and welcome to Water Lane Methodist Church this morning. Special welcome to Alexander and his family and friends who've come for his blessing this morning, giving me a little wave. Lovely to see you all here for this special service for Alexander this morning. Welcome to anybody listening to the service later on the recording as well. Coffee will be served as usual after the service, so everybody's welcome to join us there. And the children will be going out for their activities at Sunday Kids a bit later on in the service. Don't have any extra notices today, so I'm very pleased to welcome our minister, Reverend Katie Thomas, to lead our service after the introit from the choir.
This morning, and as Jocelyn said, it's really lovely to have Alexander here with Laura and Lee, and it's especially lovely because Laura's grandmother, Gladys Byram, used to worship with us, and those of you who are in focus will particularly remember Gladys, who was here a number of years ago, and I know she'd have been delighted that her great-grandson was being blessed with us today. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your deep love for each one of us. We thank you for the love of family and friends. We pray that during this service we might grow in our awareness of your love for us and your call to live and share that love with others. So bless us all as we gather and fill us with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing the hymn, Let Us Build a House. All are welcome, and the words will be on the screen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, you are the source of all life, the source of all goodness, all grace, all love, and we praise you. We thank you that you created us with the capacity to receive and share your love, to experience the depth of your healing peace, and the grace to see you in others. We thank you for calling us to live as a community where all are welcome and none are judged, where we support one another with love and stand up for those in need. Give us the strength we need to not only hear the words of Jesus, but to follow his example. As we seek to follow, inspire us and guide us through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maya is going to come and read for us our first reading, some verses from a very ancient psalm, from Psalm 139.
This reading is from Psalm 139, verses 13 to 14.
For it was you who formed in my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well.
Thank you very much, Maya. It's a psalm that was written praising and thanking God for how amazing we are. You know, when it talks about being fearfully made, it's not that we're made to look really frightening and scary, but the word fear in the Old Testament could better be translated for us now as awesome. We are awesome and wonderfully made. And what are some of the awesome things that you can do? I was going to ask some of you, but you might have gone shy, and some of you hiding at the back there, to see whether you could jump, star jumps, hop, skip. Perhaps you can do those later, because we are amazingly made to do all sorts of things. Oscar and Maya, your uncle, I don't know if you have more than one uncle, is a long jumper, isn't he? Do you know how long he can jump? 8 meters 12. That's how far he can jump. I know he's jumped for Team GB, which explains why he's so good. He's amazing. He can just jump so far. My nephew's, he's doing different type of jumping. He's a high jumper and he can jump higher than me. But I haven't let him yet practice to prove it that he can jump over me. I just said I believe that he can. We are amazing. And who likes doing maths? Some of you do. Some of you like that. You like maths, Oscar. There's a few maths. And science. Anybody love doing science? Yeah, Maya, you love doing science activities. You know, as well as all the physical things that we can do, we have amazing intelligence, don't we, to be able to learn new things. And I know, can anybody speak to me in another language? Yeah, there's quite a few of you could speak to me in another language. Could you, for example, tell us what school you go to and how old you are in another language? Right, I'm going to get this because we couldn't quite hear that. You want to say it again?
Io vado a sto programma e anche sono 9 anni.
Right. Do you want to translate?
He said, I go to Stockport Grammar and I'm 9 years old.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Do you want to say something too? No? But it's amazing, isn't it? Because we can speak different languages. And I know Oscar and Maya have got a head start because Dad's Italian. And if you didn't recognise, that's Italian. But some of us, you know, work really hard and are able to learn. What sort of different languages can people speak here? What was yours, Chris?
French.
Anybody else speak some French? Yeah, quite a few hands for French. Any Spanish? Don't worry, I'm not going to test you. It's all right. Yeah, Spanish. Some of us can speak Spanish. Also, any other languages? German.
Norwegian.
A bit of Romanian. Anybody else?
German.
Some more German. We are so able, aren't we amazingly made that we have brains that can master maths and science and languages? Does anybody play a musical instrument? Maya? You're playing the cello. Ah, brilliant. And I know these guys here. Joshua, what do you play? Yeah. Learn to play the piano? No, not anymore. I knew there was a possibility. But anybody else play a musical instrument? Oscar? Yeah, we can sing. You can sing beautifully. We are amazingly made. And, you know, we're also made as well with sensitivity, which means we can be happy and joyful. We can also be sad. And we can also be angry, and sometimes it's right to be angry, isn't it? If we see something that's wrong and somebody's being hurt, we're also amazingly made with lots of different emotions so that we can respond to one another. We are all amazingly made and all with very different gifts. And in the psalm that Maya read from, it also says that, you know, God loves each and every one of us. However different we are, whatever different gifts we have, he loves us utterly. And today, Laura and Lee are bringing Alexander because they love him utterly and want to give thanks for him and want to ask God's blessing upon him. So in a moment we're just going to remain seated and sing one verse of a hymn that echoes the words of that psalm, and then we're going to ask God's blessing upon Alexander. Pray. Loving God, source of all life, you were there at the very beginning, dreaming us, shaping us. You were there at our birth. You were there through all our days, bearing us up through sorrows and joys. You were the one who gifts us Alexander, and today we ask your blessing on him as we seek to support him as he grows. May we all know your love as we ask your blessing. We praise you, O God, for creating all things and making us in your own image. Today we especially give you thanks and praise you for the gift of Alexander, a son to Laura and Lee. We pray for Laura and Lee that in their loving, guiding and nurturing of their son, they may be strengthened and aided by the power and presence of your love. In Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm going to invite Laura and Lee, if you'll come and stand here to one side, and then people can see the screen. There we are as well. And actually, and ask also if you're godparents, if you'd just like to come and stand to the side here as well, so that people will be able to see. And that's it. So, I could ask what name you've given your son?
Alexander David Stewart.
Lovely. Now, I'm going to see whether he might come. I'm going to do... Can I hold you? You are absolutely gorgeous, aren't you? Absolutely gorgeous, beautiful. God, our Creator, bless Alexander with love and joy. Fill him with your Holy Spirit and surround him with your love. May he grow to fulfill his potential and live life to the full and to the glory of his Maker and for the enrichment of the world. Amen. Now, I'm going to give him back because I think I'm going to struggle to keep to keep reading. But I will. There you are. Bless you, Alexander David. So, Alexander David Stewart, may God's joy be in your heart and God's love surround your living each day and night and wherever you roam. May you know God's presence in growing and learning, in joy and sorrow, in friendship and solitude, in beginnings and endings. As you grow, may faith grow in you, and may God keep you and bless you all the days of your life. Amen. I'm going to invite the congregation to join in the words of the blessing so that we bless Alexander together. Alexander, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with kindness and give you peace. Amen. And I'm going to invite Joshua now to come and light a candle to give you. Now, do you want to give that to Mum? Can you manage to hold that there? Thank you, Joshua. And we say together, Alexander, the bright light of God's guarding be with you. The bright light of Christ's love be with you. The bright light of the Spirit's presence surround and enfold you all the days and nights of your life. Amen. Laura and Lee, do you thankfully receive Alexander as a gift and do you promise to love and care for him?
We do.
Will you strive to share your love, hope, faith, wisdom and understanding with Alexander?
With God's help, we will.
Will you make for him a home where he may learn to live in love, peace and justice?
With God's help, we will.
And now to the godparents, Philip, Paula, Simon and Caroline. Will you promise to support Laura and Lee as they seek to raise and nurture Alexander?
We will.
Will you promise to support Alexander with your love and offer him your wisdom and guidance as he grows?
We will.
And to all who were present, will you who form the community of love in which Alexander will grow, keep this child and his parents in your hearts and prayers and give an example of faith, hope and love to them all? With God's help, we will. We share in these words. And that was with Grandma, I think, that photo. We could stop there. Making us, shaping us, blessing us, trusting us, leading us, challenging us. God of our childhood, stay with us on our journey and bless us with your love. Amen. And Oscar, you've got a Bible to come and bring on behalf of the children of church here. Do you like to? Now, actually, your hands are going to be full now. But it's absolute joy to have you here with us, Alexander. Absolutely gorgeous, isn't he? May God bless you all, now and always. Amen. There, please be seated. You can blow the candle out when you wish. Thank you. And we're going to celebrate singing Give Me Joy in My Heart. There are some instruments here, if any of the... And they're the Sunday school instruments rather than the little ones, if any of you want to use one. Or the flag. Give me joy in my heart. Keep me praising.
Give me joy in my heart, I pray. Give me joy in my heart.
before the children leave us. Gracious God, we thank you for all the children and young people that are part of our family here and part of our community. We ask your special blessing upon them now as they continue to grow and learn more about your love. Amen. Going to hear a Bible reading now from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 4, which is our reading set for today.
The reading today is from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found a place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Or bless this reading.
Going to see a picture on the screen in a moment, and it's believed to be the synagogue in Nazareth where that reading was taken from. You never know for certain when travelling around the Holy Land, you know, the authenticity of some of the places, but that building sort of definitely sort of dates the time of Jesus, and there would only have been sort of one synagogue in Nazareth. We don't know much about Jesus as a child. We believe that that he would have grown up learning the trade of his father as a carpenter, but he would have also attended the synagogue and as a child spent time learning the Hebrew scriptures. We know at age 12 he visited the temple in Jerusalem, and the rabbis, the leaders there, were just amazed by his teaching and his wisdom. We know from Jewish writings that at the time that Jesus was a young man, there were groups called Habarim groups, and they were groups of young men who met together to study the scriptures and to interpret them and see what they meant for them. And if Jesus had impressed the rabbis and teachers of the law in Jerusalem, he must have impressed those who he studied with. It was a small town, and he would have been well known there in the synagogue and in the community. At the point of our reading, Luke has shown that Jesus has been away from home. He'd gone out to the Jordan where he was baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. He'd spent time out in the desert as a time of fasting and reflection and preparation. We know from Mark's Gospel that he'd gone from there to Capernaum, where he'd lived for some time and spent time teaching and healing. And here, for the first time since his ministry began, he was back home. In the Jewish synagogue, it was tradition that people would invite an honoured guest to read the scripture, or would invite somebody who was respected by the community to read the scriptures. So we know something of their esteem for him, that Jesus was invited that day to come and read. It wouldn't have been from the Bible like ours, but it would have been from a papyrus scroll. And he was handed the scroll of the book of the prophet Isaiah. Jesus opens up the scroll and chooses to read from chapters, what we know as chapter 61 in Isaiah. It was a really well-known passage for them. It had the promise of God sending the Messiah, sending somebody to lead his people. But it also included sort of passages about victory and success. And it was a passage that people held on to. In the passage, it went on to talk about God's vengeance against enemies and how they would lord it over foreigners and take their wealth and have them as slaves. Jesus quotes from that chapter, but it's really interesting to note what Jesus omits, what Jesus chooses not to say. He chooses to omit the punchline about vengeance and ends instead focusing on love and mercy. He also excludes all of the other parts of that chapter that talk about vengeance and enslaving others. Initially, we know that the crowd hearing Jesus speak in the synagogue were amazed at how well he spoke, were amazed at the inspiration and the authority behind his words. But later, when, you know, if they hadn't have got what Jesus, hadn't noticed what Jesus had omitted, he then, in a later passage, goes on to challenge their narrow nationalism and the idea that God was only for them. They were so angered by Jesus omitting those words and challenging the fact that God was for everybody, so angered that following this passage they tried to kill him. They had wanted to hear about grace for them and fierce judgment for everybody else, and Jesus wasn't having it. It's a passionate and really significant reading that marks the start of Jesus' public ministry. Some have described this as Jesus' manifesto or his inaugural sort of talk. We're going to hear a little bit more about what he said, but first we're going to sing a hymn. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you.
Please be seated. Jesus chooses to use those words from Isaiah, stood in that synagogue, to announce what he had come to do, to bring sight to the blind, release to the captives, and bring freedom for the oppressed. Reflecting on bringing sight to the blind, Jesus healed those who were blind, but more often he spoke about sight in a way that was symbolic. The language about sight was about seeing anew, about that word sort of metanoia, about being able to have a change of mind, a transformation of heart, to see things, to see people in new ways. For those in Nazareth, he called them to see that God's love was for all people, not for a select few. He wanted them to see that some of their long-held views needed to be let go of. Jesus encouraged people to see those who had been excluded, who were on the edge of society, with the gaze of love and through the eyes of compassion. He wanted them to see every human being with dignity and worth. There's a lovely story that some of you will have heard me mention before of a group of monks. It's about a group of monks who were basically really annoying one another and getting irritating the life out of each other. And just, you know, all the sort of niggles and frustrations in community living. And they went to visit an elderly, you know, monk in his hermitage and asked them what they should do. And he simply said, "One of you is Jesus, amongst you is Jesus." And they went back thinking, well, it's not me, but is it him? Or, well, it could be him. And because they didn't know which one might have been Jesus, they began to treat each and every person as if they were Jesus, just in case it was them. And because they treated each person as if they were Jesus, they were treating each person with a supreme love and a dignity and respect. And it completely brought healing and love into their community. Jesus invites us to see others in a new light, to treat everybody with the same love and respect and dignity that we would treat him. But he also encourages us to see ourselves in a new light too. Richard Rohr says that to see fully and freely is to be healed of hurts and unforgiveness and agendas that get in the way. We've put up many barriers and resistance to love without even knowing it, without knowing why. He invites us to see that we are loved utterly and unconditionally by God. Rowan Williams, the previous Archbishop of Canterbury, said, "The Christian gospel declares that there is nothing more godlike and precious than a single human being. It means, therefore, that a human being is worth extravagant and lasting commitment. A human being deserves complete attention and care, whether rich or poor, whether they will live for a day or for 9 decades. It means seeing others and seeing ourselves through God's love for us." Then Jesus goes on to talk about bringing release to the captives. I don't actually think he meant about just opening the doors to all jails and prisons and letting people go. He does talk about the need for justice. But here again, as he talks about sight symbolically, so he does here too. Jesus in the Gospels teaches that he wants us to know joy and life in all its fullness. He wants us to be made whole. There are plenty of things that hold us captive. What is it that keeps you captive? For many, it's guilt or anxiety or stress, the overwhelming stresses of life, our hurts and our woundedness, and sometimes just simply being far too hard on ourselves. He doesn't want us to walk around weighed down by guilt or hurts that can cause bitterness. He wants us to experience the healing of forgiveness that truly sets us free. Here at church, over the last year, we've been exploring mindfulness and the ancient gifts from the spiritual traditions. The early desert fathers of the church 2,000 years ago knew all about how the ego can trap us, that hurts can trap us, that guilt can trap us. And they taught ways in which through contemplation, through meditation, we could experience full union with God's love, that we might bring ourselves close to the source of love in all its fullness. On Thursday, we're starting another course here called Living Life to the Full with God, which uses CBT, a sort of therapy, sort of ideas and resources as combined with our experiences of prayer and meditation that can set us free from the things that hold us captive. Then Jesus talks about freedom for the oppressed. Jesus spent a lot of time talking about justice, fighting for the needs of the poorest and most vulnerable in society. It was there very much within the Jewish scriptures and Jewish tradition. There are so many passages that point to the fact that a good society is one that looks after the needs of the most vulnerable within it. Jesus stood up for those who were rejected by the religious leaders of the time, and he called us to do the same. We're not called as Christians to simply just believe what Jesus said. We're called to live as Jesus lived, to follow his ways of love and treatment of others. And the church has tried to do that in many ways. There are so many examples of where people, because of their faith, have decided to act for others. Oxfam, Amnesty International, the Samaritans, Tradecraft, Barnardo's, Action for Children, some of the prison reform charities occurred because of people of faith wanted to respond to Jesus' challenge and to meet the needs of people who were oppressed, to set people free. Recently here we've supported Manchester Charities, Barnabas, Boaz Trust and Francis House, all again started by people of faith. There are obviously so many charities from the beyond the church as well. But just to, you know, share those stories, that we are called to embody what Jesus taught us. And what amazing things can happen when we do. On Tuesday evening, Rob White, who pastors at Life Church that meets at Revolution Bar, he told me how his wife had been sat listening to somebody speaking about sex trafficking, that sort of trafficking trade of human beings. And she just felt that she really needed to do something, that she couldn't just sit by and listen. She ended up with the support of Rob and through another person, Ben, set up Hope for Justice. They now have 400 staff and are working in 8 different countries. And they're working training local police in how to detect signs of people being trafficked. And hundreds of people have been set free. What amazing things can happen when just one person thinks, I can't just let that go by and not do something about it. Mention some of these things, including the work here for Wilmslow Wells, all the work people do both within the church and without it. Partly to say thank you to you for the incredible work that you do to support others. But also to remind and encourage it is an essential part of who we are called to be. And that involves campaigning as well to challenge injustice. It's why the churches, different churches together, have put together the resource called JPIT, Joint Public Issues Team, that help us to try and understand things that are going on and how we can campaign and challenge. We might only think that we can do a very small amount, but every single thing that we do makes a difference. Working together with people within and without, outside of the church, we can do amazing things for our communities. It's really lovely that one day I met one of our young, one of our mums and her 10-year-old daughter in Manchester. And they'd made meals together and they were taking them to give people who were living on the streets. It was an amazing thing that they were doing, and what an experience done safely with her daughter to actually respond to the needs of others. Jesus encourages us to bring good news to the poor. Freedom for the oppressed, release to those who are held captive. It's a very challenging world in which we live, but every single one of us, through doing even a tiny thing, or perhaps we might feel that we can't actually get out there and do things now, but the gift of prayer. You know, with Muriel, who's 102, you know, whenever go and visit, she is praying for the world and praying for love and goodness. May we not only hear Jesus' words, but try to live them and try to share an example with our children and our young people how to treat all with love and respect, without judgment, to give a welcome to all. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn which is a prayer in itself called Beauty for Brokenness. We have a tradition in church of receiving an offering during our service. We do that during this hymn, but please feel free to just pass that on if you prefer. Beauty for Brokenness. Gracious God, we thank you that you inspire us through your love to reach out to those in need. We continue to ask that you might grant us courage to know how best to respond. We bring our commitment to continue to serve you and these gifts, that they might be used in your kingdom for your work of love, peace, justice, and mercy. So bless these gifts and ourselves to that purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. We come to our prayers before our final hymn. And today we remember that it is the day, it's Holocaust Memorial Day. So we will reflect on that in our prayers. Yesterday, whilst just at the supermarket, I met somebody from another church, and they introduced me to the gentleman that she was speaking to. And he began to tell me about himself, that he was 93 years old and that he'd come here on the Kinder transport trains, and began to tell me how he'd, you know, lost all of his family members but had come to safety. And it just brought it home, you know, that there are people still with a living memory. But in the prayers for that day, we also remember other places. Let's pray. God of the living, of the present moment, your word continues truth for each new generation. We pray for reminders of the power and glory of your love, and the difference that we can make when we root ourselves in that love and seek to share it. Speak to us anew, living God, of your concern for justice for the poor and oppressed. Help us to find ways to announce your good news through action, proclaiming liberty to those held captive, to work and pray for a better world. We long for a world transformed where justice and peace reign, where people live joyfully with variety and difference, where every person is honoured and all are welcomed. Renew in us this vision of your kingdom. Free us from selfish interests and all that hinders your liberating love. On this day of memorial, we are confronted by the staggering depth of history's legacy. Memories haunt us of lives broken and hopes destroyed. We pray that you will comfort all those who live with difficult memories. Lord of the familiar and of the far away, we pray for people across our world who suffer today through poverty, hunger, disease, war, and genocide. We pray for peace and reconciliation, so that even in the most hopeless of situations, the cries of suffering may be heard. We pray that we will remember the past, that we will remember the Holocaust and genocide in Cambodia, Rwanda, Bosnia and Darfur, so that we might learn and seek that that might never be repeated. We pray for the decision makers of our world. Guide those who have authority to make change happen. We pray that the common good will empower individuals and transform divided communities. at the end of this week of prayer for Christian unity. We give you thanks for the friendship that we share amongst all of the churches in this town, and for the work that we're able to do together. We bless each of the communities of faith, and we especially give thanks for our friendship and growing relationship with our friends at Cheadle Mosque. We pray that we might continue to work together to grow in love, to grow in understanding and fellowship with one another. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you call us to live in community. And we pray for the needs of the community here in Wilmslow. We also bring before you those who we know who are unwell at this time. We pray for all those who are undergoing treatments, for all those who are in hospital, particularly remembering Christine. We pray that your hand of healing may be upon those who are unwell. We pray that you will bring comfort and strength to those who are living through anxiety and uncertainty. We pray for all those who are lonely, and we pray that we might create ways in which we can bring people together so that they may no longer feel alone, but may know that they are loved. Gracious God, we bring to you all of these prayers and pray that through our living, through the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, we may continue to grow as people of love, peace, and justice. Accept the prayers that we bring in Jesus' name. Amen. And we join together in the Lord's Prayer, and the words will be on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our final hymn is a familiar tune. It's the tune of Danny Boy, or Londonderry Air, and it's a hymn that reminds us of true love. Let love be real.
Thank you.
Laura, we ask a special blessing on you and Lee and Alexander, that you might continue to grow in love together. And we give thanks for the love of your family and friends surrounding and supporting you. Father, you're all welcome to join us for coffee after the service. May we all be filled with the love of God. May we go with the gift of his inner healing peace. May we go with the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.